You ever get that feeling like, there's more going on than what you can actually see?
Yeah. Like hidden currents or something, shaping things.
Exactly. Forces, maybe? Influences that sort of nudge things along, affecting your life, your choices, even the world.
It's a pretty profound thought, actually, that
Right?
our reality might be, well, more layered than we usually think.
Absolutely. And that's pretty much what we're digging into in this deep dive. Today, we're exploring this really fascinating idea our sources call agencies.
Right. And when they say agencies, they don't mean like spy agencies.
Yeah, no, not at all. It's more like active forces, influences. Could be good ones, bad ones, even well, us human agencies.
And they're constantly interacting, affecting basically everyone and everything.
So our mission today is to unpack what these writings tell us about these often invisible influences, and crucially, where we fit into it all. Because it sounds like there's this big, ongoing spiritual conflict happening.
That's a good way to put it. And the sources we're using here, they're this collection of writings that touch on deep spiritual stuff, but also really practical, everyday life things. They offer a unique perspective on it all.
Okay, so let's get into it. The sources describe this huge unseen conflict, like a war happening just out of sight. And there are two main sides, right? Each with their own agencies working away.
That's the picture they paint, yeah.
Yeah.
You've got the benevolent side first, the heavenly agencies.
Heavenly agencies. Okay, what does that involve?
Well, a huge part of it is angels. The sources really emphasize their role. They're described as already to come to the help of the tried and tempted soul.
So not just sitting on clouds playing harps.
Definitely not. They're called ministering spirits, and specifically to help those who are heirs of salvation, people on that spiritual path.
Heirs of salvation.
Yeah, and get this, invisible armies of light and power attend those who believe. It's quite an image.
Wow. Invisible armies. So they're really active. What kind of things do they actually do, according to these sources?
Oh, very active. The sources give specific examples, like angels ministered to Christ during his temptations in the wilderness. They apparently even stopped Satan from, like, overwhelming Christ's human nature.
Okay, so direct intervention.
Seems like it. And it's not just ancient history. They're described as constantly ascended and descending, basically keeping Earth connected to heaven.
Like messengers back and forth.
Kind of, yeah, a constant flow. And they're watching closely, too. They observe every word and deed of human beings and keep a faithful record.
Whoa, a record of everything.
That's what it says. They're really invested in our spiritual progress, especially helping people restore God's moral image. They actively cooperate with human efforts in that.
Cooperate. How?
Well, they work with visible human agencies, and they can bring precious remembrances fresh before the mind, like guiding thoughts, maybe.
Interesting. Like little nudges.
Perhaps. And there's this beautiful picture of when someone turns towards good, the hosts of heaven are waiting, ready to strike their harps and to sing a song of rejoicing that another lost sinner has been found.
That's actually quite moving. So angels are a big part. Are there other divine agencies mentioned?
Yes, definitely. The Holy Spirit is highlighted as a key divine agency.
Okay, the Holy Spirit. How is its role described?
As purifies, refines, and disciplines the souls of men, making the path clear even for the most sinful and ignorant.
So like a guide and a purifier.
Exactly. It presents every inducement to constrain you to come, pulling us towards good, and it's ever at work seeking to purify.
And Christ's role in all this.
Well, Christ is presented as the source of power, the fountain of life. He's the one who sets in operation the all-powerful agencies of heaven for us. He bridges the gap, brings the human into union with the divine.
So it all flows from that connection.
That's the idea. It's not about us reaching up so much as divine power reaching down.
And you mentioned love earlier. Does that fit in here too?
Oh, absolutely. It's described as a divine power itself. Love's agencies have wonderful power, for they are divine.
Love's agencies. What does that mean practically?
Think about the examples given. The soft answer that turneth away wrath, or the love that suffereth long and is kind, or charity covering sins. These aren't just nice ideas. They're portrayed as like divine tools, active forces.
Huh. Tools of love. That's interesting.
And then there's the bigger picture of God's providence. Even the forces of nature are under the direction of an eternal agency.
So everything's guided.
The desire is for heaven's divine order and harmony everywhere, families, churches, institutions. It's so important, apparently, that God commands angelic agencies to actually control the satanic ones to prevent total chaos.
Control them. Wow. So there's active restraint happening.
Seems so. A direct intervention to limit the damage.
Okay. It's definitely reassuring to hear about all these positive forces working for us. But you mentioned a conflict, so there has to be an opposing side.
Right. And the sources are just as clear, maybe even more stark, about the adversarial forces.
The satanic agencies.
Exactly. Satan himself is described really bluntly. A deceiver, a liar, a murderer, and accuser of the brethren and sisters.
Oof. No pulling punches there.
Not at all. And his goal? Pure human destruction. He loves to see human misery and exults in distress. It's portrayed as deeply personal and, frankly, quite malevolent.
That's chilling, that kind of personal malice. So how do these evil agencies operate? What are their methods?
They're described as very strategic. These evil angels are constantly at work planning their line of attack. They even act like commanders, controlling disloyal human forces.
So an organized opposition.
Very much so. Mm. They specifically lay snares for people trying to do good, aiming for their weakest points,
yeah.
Trying to exploit vulnerabilities.
Makes sense, unfortunately. What kind of snares?
Things like polluting souls with licentiousness. It's like excessive indulgence, moral corruption, and leading people into things condemned in the law of God.
Okay, so temptation, leading people off track.
Right. But also deception on a larger scale, inspiring false assertions, subtle scientific theories, which the sources actually call false science, and the deceptive teachings and lying wonders of spiritualism.
Spiritualism, like fake miracles and stuff.
That's part of it. And this leads to maybe their most insidious tactic. Disguise.
Disguise. How so?
This is where it gets really unsettling. The sources warn that Satan himself is converted. After the modern order of things, he will appear in the character of an angel of light.
An angel of light, so pretending to be good.
Exactly. Using spiritualism, they'll perform apparent miracles, healings, undeniable wonders. And here's the kicker. They'll even profess faith in the Bible and respect church institutions.
Wow. That's incredibly deceptive, mimicking the real thing.
Precisely. It's a profound warning about needing discernment. And it's not just overt spiritual stuff. They also mention things like certain kinds of music being used as an attractive agency to ensnare souls, leading to pride and vanity if it's misused.
So even everyday things can be twisted.
That's the implication.
Yeah.
Anything can become a tool.
Yeah. Okay, so the sources are clear. This is no make-believe conflict, no mimic battle. We're up against most powerful adversaries. It feels very real.
It's presented that way, absolutely.
Which brings us to the big question. Where do we fit in all this? Are we just caught in the crossfire?
Not at all. That's where human agencies come in.
Mm-hmm.
Our role is actually central.
Central how?
Well, fundamentally, the choice is ours. Every soul has a heaven to win and a hell to shun. It's left to their own choice who should be their prince, Christ, or Satan.
So we choose our allegiance.
We do. And we're described as earthen vessels, fragile humans, but containing a treasure. The point being that the real power, the excellency of the power, comes from God, not us.
Earthen vessels with treasure. I like that.
Yeah. And it means we have these capabilities and powers that if we guide them right with heavenly wisdom, we can become the channels, the human agencies for divine influence to work through.
Channels for divine influence. Okay. So how does that work? How do we cooperate with the good side, with these divine agencies?
It starts with surrender, basically. A complete surrender. When a soul yields fully to the Lord, they're put in direct touch with the agencies that help them overcome. It's about aligning our will with God's will.
Bringing our will into harmony.
Right. And it's not just an individual thing. The community of believers, the church, is called God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. It's organized for service, for spreading the message.
Like the early disciples needing to be united with Christ to succeed.
Exactly that example. It shows the power of collective action when it's connected to the divine source.
Okay, so community matters. What about just our everyday actions? Do those count in this cooperation?
Immensely. Our daily lives are the battlefield, in a way. Humanity, drawing its efficiency from the great source of wisdom, is made the instrumentality through which the gospel exercises its transforming power.
The instrumentality.
Yeah.
The working agency.
Yeah. And this means practical stuff. Learning lessons of economy and self-denial, ditching selfish desires, getting involved in practical ministry, like actually helping people.
Can you give some examples from the sources?
Sure. They mention things like husbands and fathers creating a pure, holy atmosphere at home. Mothers working in partnership with divine agencies to raise kids. Teachers patiently guiding children. Young people upholding truth and working with older members.
So everyday roles seen through this lens.
Exactly. And they specifically highlight medical missionary work and sanitariums, those health institutions with a spiritual focus, as chosen ways to spread the message, reaching people who might not otherwise hear it.
Interesting. So what's the benefit for us when we cooperate like this?
We get access to their higher education and experience, basically. We receive strength and firmness and energy. We become laborers together with God. It leads to real spiritual transformation, allowing us to actually reveal Christ to the world.
That's a powerful partnership, a very uplifting picture. But okay, let's flip the coin again. How do we avoid becoming agents for the other side? How do we resist?
Crucial question. The sources state flatly, the agencies of God and satanic agencies cannot combine. No mixing.
No middle ground.
None. We have to be wary of subtle stuff, because if our minds are focused on, well, carnal indulgence, Satan is apparently determined to destroy us with temptations.
So guard your thoughts, basically.
And act intentionally. By desire, by silent prayer, by resistance, put your will on the side of God's will. It's an active choice, an active resistance.
Requires discernment, too, I imagine.
Huge key. Those who are under God's control will be able to discern the crafty workings of darkness. We have to consciously give no place whatever to Satan and his angels.
Give no place.
And there's a really serious warning for people in leadership roles or positions of influence. If their words or actions sow seeds of doubt and unbelief, the sources say they're actually under the guidance of evil angels.
Wow, that's heavy. A big responsibility.
Huge. It underscores that our choices, our words, they really do have weight in this unseen conflict.
So this isn't just about saving our own souls, is it? It's about our role in this larger cosmic drama. The urgency feels pretty high based on these writings.
It does. They talk about living in a time when the last message of mercy is sounding and the great crisis is just before us. This work, this choice, has eternal consequences. It's far-reaching as eternity.
A great crisis.
Right.
But is there hope in that?
Absolutely. There's a powerful promise. When things look bleakest, when God's people feel overwhelmed by Satan's power, God will work in their behalf. The saying is, man's extremity is God's opportunity.
Man's extremity is God's opportunity. I like that.
And maybe the most amazing part, the highest angels, the seraphim and cherubim, are watching us. Watching humanity.
Watching us do what?
Watching us change. They see people who were once fallen, maybe children of wrath, but through Christ's influence, they're developing characters like God's, becoming sons and daughters of God. And the angels watch this with astonishment and joy.
Astonishment and joy. That we can actually change that much. That's incredible.
It paints a picture of incredible potential for transformation. And the rewards described are, well, off the charts.
Rewards like what?
Things like the enjoyment of heaven, being with angels, communion with God and Christ, and the elevation and extension of all our powers throughout eternal ages. Just limitless growth and joy forever.
Wow. Okay. So bringing this all home for you, our listener, this deep dive really opens up this idea that life isn't just surface level.
Yeah.
There's this constant interplay of visible and, well, invisible agencies.
Right. And you're not just a spectator. You're an active participant. You have a real choice about which forces you align yourself with.
So maybe the final thought to leave you with is this. Given that both sides, the divine and the satanic agencies, are, according to these sources, constantly working with every human being,
what specific choices will you make today, even the small ones, to make sure you're aligning your will, your actions, with the agencies of heaven? How might just knowing about this unseen battle change how you approach your day?
If you enjoyed this study and would like to learn more, please go to revelationwithdaniel.com and search for Angels Studies. You will find a growing list of this type of podcasts.